Welcome to the Graveyard Girls podcast with Amelia and Natasha.
Right, okay. Today, I've got... It's really happened. It's kind of a... It's a history of some people. And they commit crimes. But it's nothing unsolved. There's no unsolved thing to it. It's just a bit of information.
Okay.
I thought they were interesting.
Okay.
So, basically, now, I'm pretty certain most of you have heard of Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes.
But did you know we had a British version?
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, even that. I didn't know either.
Were they called, like, Mortimer and Elmer?
No, not quite.
Okay.
It was... I basically found this in that Bad Women book. So the ones I've done other episodes on, so like the Pop My Pirate one,
yeah.
I was scrolling through and obviously it was looks at women that have committed crimes. And so, I don't know, sort of, well, just bad women. Well, labelled as bad women in general, but I think it's more sort of badass women rather than bad women.
That's why I bought it for you.
Yeah, so then I came across this. So, basically, the lady went by the name of Lillian. She was born in 1902 in Wembley. Lillian was a middle-class, skilled seamstress, but this wasn't the sort of life that she would end up living.
Aww.
In 1920, Lillian married a man called Harry Goldstein. Now Lillian Goldstein, she was about to brush arms with criminals. Through Harry, she would meet a jewel robber and serial convict called Sparks. Full name, Charles Sparks.
Okay.
Harry wasn't exactly squeaky clean himself, and he'd served 3 months for hard labour for living off immoral earnings. Some say Harry acted as Lillian's pimp, but there was no complete concrete evidence of that. And Harry was also later convicted and sentenced to 18 months imprisonment for carnal knowledge.
Carnal knowledge
of an under 16-year-old, although this was after Lillian had started associating with Spark. So basically... he had knowledge of the fact that the girls he was getting involved in brothels were underage. It was illegal at that point. So even though he wasn't the one initiating them in, he knew they were underage. And he was given a sentence. It was seen as, I suppose, a bit like trafficking.
Okay.
And he was aware that they weren't of age, but he did nothing about it.
Oh, okay.
But it gets the money in, doesn't it? So I don't think he's...
He's not bothered.
Yeah. So I don't think he was the one necessarily finding the girls initially, but then obviously he would have had to deal with them, and I think it was proven that he knew they were underage.
Okay.
So what he's still committed is an offence.
Which is correct, yes.
Yes.
Of course it's
shouldn't
a
have
crime.
Done that. Naughty Harry. So, on to Charles Sparks. He also went by the nickname Ruby. He gained that name from one of his earliest burglaries when he stole a Mahjong box and gave away its contents. Thinking they were red stones, what he'd actually stolen was £45,000 worth of rubies. And that was £45,000 worth in early 1920s.
That's a lot.
So nowadays, it's a lot. So obviously, they nicknamed him that because he made a bit of a poo-poo there. He just thought they were just red stones and weren't that valuable.
He's a bit silly.
Yeah, a little bit silly. I don't think he was, from what I can make out, I don't think he was the brightest of sparks.
That's why it's called sparks.
So, Charles was born around 1910, and by the mid-20s, he was a well-known criminal. He specialised in raiding country houses until he met Lillian, who apparently persuaded him to try throwing bricks through windows of jewellery shops. She was definitely the brains behind the double act.
Wasn't he only, 10?
So, early teens, he would have been.
Okay.
By mid-20s, if he's born in 1910. So, what, 13, 14?
Yeah. So, she's...
A little bit older than him.
A decade older than him.
1902, yes, 8 years older than her.
Yeah.
Lillian would become known as the Bobbed Head Bandit, and she used her Mercedes to help Sparks get away, and she became his getaway driver. So she was Bobhead Bandit, so obviously the haircut mixed with the fact she was the driver, which is quite unusual because it's normally a male getaway driver, I feel, for the time. She was easily recognisable, especially she wore her favourite red beret and a matching coat. So
despite the fact,
yeah, she does. I also imagine having cool shades.
Yeah.
And
there's scarves.
Yes. Yeah, right over her neck. So it's weird. She's a getaway driver, but also she's made herself very distinguishable.
Yeah.
She's classy, but also it's very easy to identify her.
I imagine everyone's wearing brown stuff and she's
bright.
This bright, yeah.
She stands out like a sore thumb.
In a Mercedes, wearing a red beret and a red coat. She does sound fancy. I do like that.
I feel like she smells really nice as well.
Yeah, of course.
But yes. So Okay, so the crimes that they committed were the first modern robberies in Britain to use cars as a getaway for their robberies.
Okay.
So she's a bit of a trendsetter here. Now, as a seamstress, Lillian did have her uses for Sparks, as she used to patch up his wounds. So, after he got a bit battered or scraped on the way in, kind of useful. She's not a natural nurse, but she knows how to sew, so she guess she's sewing up the wounds.
It's interchangeable skills.
She also used bulldog clips to hold his wounds together after a smash and grab until she had the opportunity to fix them.
I thought he was going to say something else.
Oh. What did you think I was going to say?
I thought he was going to say Willy. So what the hell?
That's like that documentary I watched the other day about Lorena Bobbitt chopping her husband's penis off.
And throwing it out of the car.
It's that bit that got me.
She wasn't aware she was holding it. And then she was just like, oh no.
What do I do with this now? Oh. It was just the casualness of it. It was like littering, but not littering. And it was weird. It was the accounts as well of the other people. They were really religious, all the firemen, and no one wanted to pick it up.
I don't know about that. It was funny that the police officers were like looking for this thing.
Yeah, one guy, they had a stick and they were using a stick to point at it.
Oh no.
Because no one wanted to pick it up.
Well, would you want to pick it up? Just like...
I don't know, but I think in the end, someone that was in the shop nearby that sells, you know, like the big canister of ice, they came out with that, and then I think one of them picked it up with gloves on and put it in the thing, rather than the original guy that found it because he was too embarrassed. I mean, at that point, you can't even say penis on TV, so I think they were a bit too embarrassed to actually pick up a penis.
Yeah.
I think they felt like there was something wrong with it.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny.
Okay, it is funny.
Tossing it out the window. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah, because I think she did it over the car.
Yeah, she did it. It was her actions. In the documentary I watched, it was how she described to do it. She was like, I was driving, she's like, I didn't really know what happened. And then she was like, then I looked down, she went, and his penis was in my hand. She's like, I just didn't know what to do. She went, so I just threw it.
And imagine if she didn't throw it over the car, it was just on top of the car.
So it would have been even better if there was a person walking by.
Got slapped with it.
Or someone's dog runs off with it.
I saw someone who clearly threw out their chewy and it landed on their back window. So imagine if she threw it and it was just like stuck to the window.
You know, like where the radio aerial should be.
Yeah. I'd be like on top.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
It was when it first, apparently, when the first accounts came through, someone thought that she'd eaten it, like she swallowed it. And then I was thinking, does she swallow it whole? Because I'm trying to think.
Because I've not like looked into it. Sorry, I didn't look into it much. But he abused her, right? That's why she did it. Yeah. But there's no confirmation that he abused her.
Yeah, it was a bit of a thing. It was similar to the case I did the other week. There was two trials.
Mm.
His went first, and he got away with it. He was found not guilty. And then in her, she did her. She pled that it was due to insanity, like a moment of insanity, and she did end up winning her case, but it didn't overturn his. So basically, he got away with it, never got convicted or anything. Although, when I went on later in the documentary, he ends up coming back to bite him on his ass, so he gets his comeuppance, it's fine.
He's gonna become a porn star.
Yeah, his penis was working fine after the operation, it worked perfectly. But
he
then, in doing
one.
His porn star, yeah, and in them doing the operation for that, it broke his penis.
Oh,
and I think he should have just left it as it was. So, but yeah, he was stupid enough to want a bigger one. But then there is little elements. I don't feel sorry for him in any way, shape or form. But there was elements suggesting his IQ wasn't that great. And when you look at the porn star thing, they did take the piss with him. Because he didn't see any money from it. They robbed him from every penny.
Oh.
They kind of did take advantage of him. And I don't think he was the full shilling necessarily.
Okay.
So yeah, they kind of did take advantage of him a little bit. But at the same time, I think best serves you right. So I didn't feel that sorry for him. In that sense, the money thing, that was shitty, because that bit did ruin his life. Someone should have put a stop to that. It should have been the end of it, but I think it was a 5 minutes of fame thing, and I don't think he realised how detrimental it was going to be on him.
Hmm.
But yeah, it was just her. Obviously, then she had to do the whole, because she then was found not guilty under reasons of insanity, she then had to go to a place, I think it was for 45 days or something, because they couldn't, if they found her for that, they can't just release her, because then they're proving she was insane temporarily.
Yeah, of course.
So she had to serve some time in like some form of institution thing for a little while, but then like I said, obviously she got on with her life.
Well, good, because...
It's just the throw in the penis.
I know, that's the thing that gets me.
It was just how she described how she did it. It just made me laugh.
Mm.
I just think it was as well when you look back at the newspaper reports at the time, and they're like, when they're interviewing people as well, and then women are like, yeah, good on her, and this woman goes, it's against right, it was the most degrading thing she could ever do to a man, it's terrible, she should be locked away forever. And I'm thinking, men are battering women all the time, you're not bothered, but she's clever enough to chop off his penis, and yeah, she's committed the crime of the century.
So how dare you took his phallus? How dare you?
I don't even know why he's that bothered, it still worked afterwards until he fucked it up. The surgeon probably did a good job the first time round.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was separated from him for quite a long time.
Yeah, I know.
Because there was the big worry that it was just going to not take and all that right off. It was too dead. Especially as well, like, imagine there being little bit of grass like stuck to it.
They're just like,
it's dirty, like.
Clean it.
Run it under the tap.
It'd be like a sausage.
It wasn't that big either.
No, it wasn't.
Because that was the thing I wondered, were they going to include it in the documentary? And I was like, I hope they do, because we've all got to see it.
What's her name?
Lorena Bobbitt. Put his penis in. What was his name again? Was it John?
Okay.
Back to the case. Yeah, I'm very distracted from this case. So, their first arrest together seems to have been in 1927 in Manchester, but Sparks protected Lillian, and so she escaped punishment.
Okay.
Lillian waited outside Strangeways for him during an escape attempt that went wrong, so she had to drive off without him. Sparks served a number of sentences, but was well known for escaping from most of the prisons he'd been held detained at.
There was just a woman in red stood outside, and everyone was like, who's that? She looks like a postbox.
Then he starts abseiling outside. Yeah, jumps off into the car. She's like, woo, she's off.
Her car's probably bright red as well.
Yeah,
I like the style.
She does. It's very cool style, but also she stands out like a sore thumb.
But if she can get away with it, why not?
Yeah, that's true. Sports car, no one's catching up with her.
Not in those days. It's not a sports car. It's not a sports car back in those days. It'd be wooden wheels.
He could pass it PC plod on his bicycle.
And it's those horns with the proper, like, you got to squeeze it.
Yeah, and you've got to put your arm out, signal right, left or right.
Yeah. It's like, Sparks, put your arm out.
No, the other one.
Then you put your arm out if it's on your side.
Right. The pair were also arrested again in Blackpool in 1930. Lillian was arrested for receiving.
Receiving what?
Yeah, it's I can't remember the thing. It's like, you know, like receiving, like handling stolen goods.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Lillian was arrested for receiving, which is like stolen goods. But like, as in the case before, the case was dropped against her. Sparks was given another sentence, and this time was 5 years for robbery. He made yet another escape in 1939 while serving another 5-year sentence in Dartmoor. Both him and Lillian were arrested again, and this time Lillian for comforting, harbouring, assisting and maintaining a criminal.
I have a question.
Yes.
Where's her husband? She just went off with Sparks.
He's off. I wonder if she goes back to him in between the thing and then she's just off committing crime, or I don't know, maybe she's not happy that Harry's running effectively a brothel.
Yeah, I guess. Or she was in part of it, and she's like, no, Harry, you do that. I'll go take care of another business. Yeah. And then she really likes this man child.
Yeah.
Because I'm picturing a 13-year-old.
I feel like he's got to be better looking than Harry. But I also imagine Willie's got really big ears.
I imagine he's really dumb as well, and she can control him.
Yeah. Well, obviously, because she's managed to get him to serve at least 5 or 6 sentences here.
Mm.
And she's got away with all of them.
And she'd be like, I'll be outside, just look for the postbox.
But yeah, so then obviously she was then arrested.
Just erected.
For comforting, harbouring, assisting and maintaining a criminal. She broke down in court saying that she was afraid of him and that he threatened to kill her. She was sentenced to 6 months, although only served 3 weeks of a sentence, thanks to a sympathetic judge. She was flashing her luscious locks.
The judge fancied her.
In the car.
Yeah. If she was afraid of him, she wouldn't continue being there after he's escaping. She'd be long gone.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's not. She's obviously used her woman powers to persuade him. So of the 14-year crime spree, Sparks has spent 12 years of that locked up. So he wasn't the most successful of gangsters. After the Second World War, it seems they gave up on their career as robbers. And Sparks went on to marry a respectable girl and opened up a club in Regent Street. Liam decided she'd also had enough of being a criminal and faded away into a quiet life. However, she lives on police records because of the reputation she earned regarding to her outstanding and effective driving ability. So apparently she was a very good driver. They were a bit impressed, the boys. So maybe that's why she kind of got away with it. They're like, I've never seen a woman drive this good before.
Yeah.
So they see her go off in the distance. No, she won't drive. She won't make it. Oh wait, shit. No, she's actually 5 miles down the road now.
It's that one I sent you of like, oh, she can handle a manual. So I can drive stick. And like, oh, you're so... Why are you so impressed by that? Because you're a girl. It's that. It's just like, it's exactly she passed the test, for God's sake. She can drive.
Yeah, no, but, you know, woman driver, so she's not as good, is she? All that shit.
So, some of the men I've seen cannot drive.
Definitely not. That's how I nearly got killed in Leanne's car.
Yeah, but...
That was a bit of road rage as well. But yeah, so this wasn't the only criminal link she had. Lillian had also been associated with the 40 Elephants, or 40 Thieves, who were a group...
40 Elephants?
Yeah, who were a group of all-female criminals who specialised in robbing shopping centres and family homes. This group was also associated with the Elephants and the Castle Mob, which was run by the McDonald's brothers. They operated in East London, yeah. But their crime spread across the country. It's worth noting that some say that Charles Sparks was a part of the Elephant and Castle Mob, and so they could have met that way.
I was going to say why they're called Elephants, but yeah, now it makes sense. Elephant and Castle is a place in London. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's good. You could have come up with a better name than that, but that's kind of a strange good. Name.
Yeah, so it's she kind of had links with these bigger groups.
I like that there's a whole gang of women.
Yeah, like an all-female criminal club.
Don't rob homes, rob... Obviously, businesses that can afford.
Big shopping centres.
Yeah, big shopping centres.
So I imagine they're going into clothing stores.
Yeah. Like steal from rich stores, companies, yeah. Don't steal from small shops.
We're not stealing anything, we promise.
Hey, if they pay taxes, it was fine, but they're not, so you can rob from them what you want.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll have to be your getaway driver, I think.
I can't drive. I'll be the getaway driver.
I have to serve 12 years in prison.
I didn't say anything about that. You said.
Yeah, but I'm going to have to get caught if you're the one that's getting away.
We'll make it to the car in time and we'll go.
I'm not the most athletic, Natasha.
Neither am I.
How am I going to get over the prison wall?
Oh, no, I wouldn't be able to. I have no upper body strength. I could not climb that thing.
I feel like it's quite. Oh, I'll just drop into your car. Go through the whole thing. Do you have a sunroof on yours? No, you don't.
No, I don't.
I don't feel like I can aim for the sunroof. You're going to have to get a convertible. So.
I could have got it in a convertible. And I was like, no, it'll be freezing in there.
Well, we need you to have a convertible so that we bail me out of prison.
Okay. I'll be dressed as a postbox so you can see me, okay?
Yeah. You've got to have like some really cool really cool shades on that. Like, you don't like definitely... Yeah, cat really eyes. Pointy ones at the end.
Oh, yes. Like really like super villain.
But maybe you should be dressed all in black. I feel like, I don't know, maybe you would have to be bright. You're going to have to be green.
I don't want to be green, I'd be red.
Froggy.
Swampy.
Yeah. Swampy and froggy. Yeah, you've got to be a bright green, like a luminous green.
Oh, I'd just wear a morph suit.
Okay.
I'll stick googly eyes on it so it looks like a frog. Those giant googly eyes.
We'll have that, yeah, like I said, you'll just have to seemingly do it. Although you might have to sort of be ready to go backwards and forwards a little bit, because depending on what part of the wall I come over,
okay.
I might not drop straight into the
shimmy over a bit more.
I know, but if I'm making a quick escape, I'm just going to fling myself over the wall. Because I'm already not athletic, so I'm not going to take the time to like get a set of ladders and do that. I'm just going to have to lunge myself, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, they are quite high, the prison walls, aren't they? I'm not quite sure how.
Of course they're high.
I think they have to make them bigger because of people like this who are escaping.
Well, no one should have been able to escape anyway. How the hell does someone...
He escaped multiple times.
Because he's a little skinny thing. He's a 5-year-old.
He's got those mob links that they've got people on the inside. Because you think of the time, the police were easily bought, weren't they?
Yeah, you just give them £20. They're like, can you look through the way? It's like, yeah, okay, it's £20.
That's it. There he is, shimmying over the wall. I feel like I just make a massive thud in your car and I don't go through the car.
There's me like, oh. I'm just like waiting outside drinking like a coffee or something and I just hear a thud and I'm like...
Oh, you've got an iced coffee as well. Yeah. It's not just any coffee. Like,
I've got those gloves on.
With a little straw. You know, you've got a little sombrero.
Oh, yeah. Because it's a pina colada. Yeah.
You're just sitting there waiting for me to come by and all of a sudden, doof, and I fall through the car.
And I'm just like, oh, my coffee's everywhere. I'm like, Oh.
I'm going to have to pay to have this cleaned now.
I do need to clean my car.
Then me, like, slide in the back of your car.
And then we, like, roll away because some of the wheels are crushed. So we're like, the little thing falls off. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. And you've just...
I'm half dead in the back.
At least you made it out. Now we just have to...
You've got to put me in one of your coffins. Am I going to go in your carriage?
Yeah. Would you like to be cremated? I'll cremate you if you want.
Okay. Yeah, I think I would rather be cremated than have my eyes eaten out.
I'm going to have to chop you up because I do have a smelting pot. So I guess I could put bones in there.
Yeah, that's fine. Use me in some sort of spell.
I think I can get it up to like 3,000 degrees, I think.
Yeah, put me in there. It's fine.
Okay. Shove you in.
Yeah, pack me in. But yeah, keep bobbing back up.
Close it.
It's sat on the top of the lid. You know when you overpack your suitcase? You try to squash me in. And then you finally disintegrate me and I'm just sat there in the corner of the garage. I'm in the urn opposite to the other one. And your mum's like, where did this other urn come from? And you're like, don't go in there.
I get you a nice urn.
Oh, thank you.
A skull. You're
going to make me one.
Yes.
No, you should bring me back in here and I'll have you on your bookcase.
Okay.
So you can still do the podcast and like the spirit of me is here.
Okay.
I'm just on the shelf.
Well, I didn't kill you, so therefore there won't be any resentment, hopefully. Don't know.
No, I don't know. Would it be moaning because my body's a bit battered?
Probably. You're just like, because you're still, you're still reliving the pain.
The arm's the wrong way around. My head's facing the opposite way. I mean, it'd be a brilliant scary ghost because I'd look absolutely terrifying.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. People like back to front. But also really flat.
Yeah, you'd be like, 2D. You turn around, you know, oh, where's she gone? Keep creeping.
And we'll keep digging.